Welcome to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And we have had a full weekend.
We have. We split the weekend between my place and Daryl's place. And it was just a lot. I can't remember what we did on Friday. Did we just stay in?
Yes.
Great.
And then yesterday we went to the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Oh, because it was chores and then gym and then I had to finish the cleaning up and putting stuff back together. That's what Friday was.
Oh, yes.
And then the Renaissance Festival.
On Saturday.
Which was super fun.
Yeah, and it, perfect temperature. We got false fall here in Minnesota, so it's been wonderful temperatures for the past few days, like highs in the mid-60s.
I love that.
It's beautiful. And there were a couple passing rain showers while we were there.
But it wasn't bad.
No, it made it a little muddy, so I need to throw the shoes in the washer. But
yeah,
it wasn't bad. We had our hoodies, so it was fine.
We stayed on the leeward side of a tree.
Yes, while we had a snack, so.
So yeah, you had pierogies. I still have my cookie with the Slovenian flag on it and my hoodie. I think it's in my car.
Oh.
Oh, it got baked again.
Oh.
But the vibe was good. There was a Friends of the Fest booth that had its own, like, water, sit-down, snacks.
Yeah, like, if you are a Renaissance Fair diehard, you should do it. Because you pay, like, $20 for a day pass, or there's, like, a season pass if you go, like, every weekend.
Yeah.
And you get, like, free snacks. Well, I guess not free, but, like, snacks and water in a private bathroom.
And apparently they had run out of toilet paper, and the only toilet paper there was at the Friends Fest bathroom.
Yeah. So it's, we were like, oh, what, why are there rainbow flags? We must go to there.
It's so gay. It's our people.
Yes.
And they were very nice, and they're like, it's a member-only space, and you can become a member this way, and yeah, Here's all the things that we have. And we're like, it's our first time. We're only here for the afternoon.
Yeah. It doesn't make... Like, if we went for a full day... Absolutely. Yes. Because they also have, like, their own seating.
Yes.
So.
With cushions.
Yep.
And so, if we do it again, I think we'll base our schedule more on the shows.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of fire juggling, mm-hmm, which was fun. Be down for more of that.
Yeah.
There's some sort of Shakespeare thing. There were shirtless dudes, like, in the cabs that are, like, a little hand wagon.
Yes. Sort of like a rickshaw.
Yeah. So their job is just to lug you around.
Yeah. Which I don't think that'd be a comfortable ride. There are so many rocks.
There were.
And mud.
Yes. I got a belt.
Yeah.
We got fancy vinegar and oil. So you got the Herbe de Provence olive oil.
Yeah.
And I got a date balsamic vinegar.
Yeah.
I'm excited to do dessert things with that.
Yeah.
Even though I'm like, I'll never do anything with balsamic vinegar and dessert.
Oh. But then you tasted it.
But I tasted it and it was, like, really sweet,
mm-hmm,
and viscous in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And the vinegar in it made it more tangy.
Okay.
Rather than, like, I'm punching you in the face with vinegar.
Sure.
And then today we did chores.
Yeah, a little mowing, a little weeding.
We weeded the pollinator area, so I'll probably make an Instagram post about it.
Mm.
There was a warbler that was like 2 feet from my face. There was a hummingbird that kept coming around because the late figwort is still going. Like, it has just a few of its little buckets of nectar still open. A lot of the other ones have closed off and become seed pods now.
Mm. Yeah.
And we found the prairie smoke and put it all in one spot because it was getting too shaded out in one. And realized that we need to weed it more often.
Yes. So, a full weekend, but nice and relaxing at the same time. Like, I don't feel burnt out.
Yeah.
And we have supper going on the stove.
Potato leek soup from the CSA.
Yeah. So...
And bok choy to be fried, too.
Yes. Well, that simmers. Why don't we discuss some Alpha Flight? It's been a while. It's been over a month since we discussed Alpha Flight. So, we have three issues, 51, 52, and 53. So, as a reminder, we lost most of the team. They're gone.
The original.
We have Wanda.
Yeah.
And Wanda's the only original member at this point.
Correct.
because Heather wasn't on the team.
No, not in a very active role.
No, and Madison Jeffries was on Gamma?
Or Gamma.
Gamma, yeah.
Flight.
So, all right. So, issue 51, October 1987, Friends in High Places. All right. So, this is a fake out to begin the issue. So, we're in media res. There's a battle. Yes. We're plopped into the middle of it. It's Alpha Flight battling the military. And Tamarin Island is overrun with, like, tanks and soldiers and helicopters. When the fuck did Tamarin Island get this big? And that there are battlefields multiple.
Is the house on the other side?
Are those
mountains across the strait on the mainland?
Remember when we visited on, like, a motorboat in issue, like, 20? And it was just this quaint little island with a Victorian mansion. And now there's full-on rolling hills. Like, Maria Von Trapp is on the other side of this, yodeling.
Yeah. I mean, if an island has to be of a certain size to maintain a Victorian house, I feel, so...
Maybe, but, like, it seems to have grown.
Yeah.
I'll
give the artist a benefit of the doubt that those mountains are on mainland British Columbia.
The artist is Jim Lee.
Oh,
cool. Yeah.
There's a lot of detail in this title page with the tanks and the GIs and more tanks and helicopters. And I was very confused as to why this was happening.
Yes.
It's a full-on battle. Like, Purple Girl is there.
Yeah, Purple Girl and Mannequin are Beta Flight, and they're held back. So they're sort of reserve.
I mean,
and then they get very ricocheting
away from Purple Girl's face right there.
So, just to touch on Jim Lee, this is his first issue.
Ever? So,
not ever, but, like, his first issue on Alpha Flight super, super early in his career.
Oh.
So, I'll talk about that a little later. But you can see right off the bat, the characterizations are really good.
Yeah.
Like, he is drawing the characters, and I feel this is the standard. When I think of Mannequin, I think of how he is drawing him. Or when I think of Purple Girl, I think of how Jim Lee draws Purple Girl as the definitive version.
I mean, she is, in these very few pages, her face is very expressive. And even Mannequin in the background is, like, eyebrows going up, surprise face.
Mm. So she gets hit while protecting Mannequin, and then she unleashes her powers on the surging troops, turning them on their compatriots. So her pheromones
kick in.
But then the soldiers are like, oh shit, she's doing her thing. Put on your masks.
Yeah. We get Heather sealing a helicopter pilot in the helicopter. We get Box transforming into one of those big spiky wheel things, sort of like Avengers Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, ripping through stuff, he just jumps on a boat full of people. Sasquatch is throwing stuff. Wanda gets hit in the shoulder, but then throws a tank at another tank.
We have Mannequin releasing his alter egos. Have we gotten to the point where Proto eats the uniforms off of them?
I think that's in the next page.
Okay, because that's fun. Like,
yeah,
we get a little beefcake, thanks to Proto.
It's true. Oh, that explains why. Okay, so the blood looks very dark, and I thought that was just because, like,
the
you're not
comics
supposed to.
Code.
Yeah, you're not supposed to show blood. But yeah, here's the page. There's some hunky men with not a uniform because Proto ate them, ate the uniforms. And then Purple Girl sends them off to defend them.
So, eventually, the team succeed. Alpha and Beta Flight, their forces combine. And the military is turned away from the island, and the military is in full retreat. And from afar, Gary Cody.
This is a Gary Cody book.
This is a Gary Cody episode.
Issue, I mean.
Yes. So, Gary Cody is like, oh... we got everything recorded, so,
we have all this data for the eggheads in Ottawa to do all their research.
On the strengths and weaknesses of the team.
Yeah.
Which is uncomfortable.
Yeah, and Gary Cody is very surprised that Alpha Flight succeeded, and he's talking to Heather, and they're just shitting on the original team.
Yeah.
Like, between this issue and I think the next one... There's just so Oh, where did it go? It's right here. We're also far more cohesive team than Matt's maladjusted amalgam of misfits ever was. And wow. Sasquatch is standing right there.
Yeah, which Gary hasn't talked to Wanda since her transition.
No. And so that's a whole other moment.
So Heather invites Gary into the library to discuss the team's history. We get a little flashback for all the new readers out there who joined. To be like, what does this mean? And
he doesn't even know that Madison Jeffries is in box now and can phase in and out.
So she departs after he implies that the team can be controlled by the government, which is against the agreement that she forged.
Yeah, the government
She's like, the concerned. Fuck if you can.
There is a fun moment where Sasquatch returns Gary's cigarette case, and Wanda calls Gary a cutie, and he's very confused. And he's like, Wanda, I don't recall Walter Lankowski having a sister. And she just says, I don't. Ta.
Also, Gary Cody is not a cutie.
No. I would not say
he's wish.com George Lucas with brown hair instead of black. So Madison gives Gary the lowdown on the whole scramble Roger Box thing and says that, you know, determining who joins the team is Heather's responsibility. Bye. Everyone's leaving Gary Cody alone, which is such a fucking mistake.
Also, Purple Girl racing mannequin to the pool. I mean, we'll get it out of the way now. It's still gross. Like, we'll say it every issue because it keeps popping up.
It still is there, and it's not going to go away.
It's still so gross.
So,
we get this whole Gary Cody...
super spy, but not really super spy. He's not being stealthy. He just waited until everyone left the room.
No, and he's astounded that Heather went beyond an honorary title and became a true leader. With, like, this image of her holding a hot dish and oven mitts and in an apron. As, like, his thought of who she was.
Yeah. So then he goes to Elfinex and downloads all the information available on the team, its battles, its abilities.
Yeah, we get another recap of Alpha Flight, Beta Flight, Gamma Flight, the who's who. It's odd.
So... after stealing all their data, he runs into the team, and they're all in casual wear, and Heather's like, I'm sorry for being so short with you. Thank you for being our best friend.
End of issue.
So in the letters page, let's talk about it. Lori Anderson of Maryvilles, Ohio, where are you, bitch? Because you wrote in to complain about Northstar and his cough, saying he's disgusting and irritating.
Oh.
She really hates the old characters and how they've changed. Quote, they just make me sick. Kurt Craddock of Las Cruces, New Mexico. Is that how you pronounce it? Las Cruces?
Cruces, I think.
Wrote to applaud the change of Walter into Wanda, explaining how chromosomes are so similar between male and female that it really isn't much of a stretch as a storytelling device. Thank you, Kurt Craddock. All right, so... Jim Lee, let's talk about it. He wrapped up a previous job and almost immediately got the offer for this issue. So he did an interview in 1988 where he addressed it and said that Carl Potts called me up and asked me if I'd like to do a fill-in issue for Alpha Flight. So I did that. He gave me like 17 or 18 days to do it. I don't know how I did it, but I worked really hard. I had heard that Carl, you know, if you didn't do that for Carl, essentially you probably wouldn't get very much more work. For a while, at least. I mean, he's really into deadlines, so I really worked very hard on that.
I mean, again, the amount of detail that are in these images.
For, like, 3 weeks of work.
Yeah, like, all the stuff on Box, all the stuff on the soldiers and the military equipment.
Yeah. So, this rolls into the regular penciler at this time coming back for issue 52. Which is June Brigman, and I wanted to interview her for the book, but all she said, and maybe I said it on an episode before, is all I remember is that I kept, like, hitting deadlines and missing deadlines. Like, it was really hard for her to keep up, and that's all she remembers about her time on Alpha Flight, is that deadlines. Just one word. Deadlines. So...
I guess those two things together make a lot of sense, then.
Yes. Especially when you hear what Jim Lee said about Carl Potts.
Yes. Like,
really into deadlines. This is entitled Spectres! Exclamation point. Bill Mantlo loves exclamation points.
He does, because when we did one of the reviews for your manuscript, we had to add in, I feel like, a bunch of exclamation points.
Yeah, it was like, is there an exclamation point? Gary Cody.
He's looking maybe more cutie pie.
Is he? Also on the cover, Wolverine.
And the next one.
Which is promoted even with, and Wolverine and his official, like, logo with TM after it. Just like, you know, how Iceman had a little logo designed and everything in the 80s.
With very blocky, yeah.
And that's Wolverine's.
I mean, it's not far from the animated series one.
Yeah.
And it sort of makes sense why they all had their own specific font.
Yeah. All right, so Gary Cody. He's in Department H.
He's got a little computer headset situation happening, sort of like the Jem'Hadar.
With a little eye thing.
Yeah. And he has all this data that he's stolen from Alphanex, and he's in sort of the ruins of Department H after it had been stripped of everything.
Right.
So, big empty room. And he's there going through all this data. Like, it's a lot of recap. And especially last issue as well was a lot of recap.
Yeah, it's like going back into the early days of Alpha Flight.
So we've got Mac in his gigantic tubular outfit. And the whole, like, I don't want to go into the military. Roxxon, all that whole thing. We get him and Wolverine and the whole, like, Wolverine was Mac's greatest failure.
No.
First and greatest failure.
Greatest love?
Possibly. And so Wolverine is quitting the team here. And then we get the, like, and then it became these folks.
A great big splash page.
Yeah.
Of the first team. And,
again, leading into the beta, leading into the gamma.
Mm-hmm.
All the background.
Yeah.
We get Heather once again, like...
It's really weird how a computer program is just, like, showing him this.
Yeah.
Like, the greatest hits.
And the fact that the new team is headed by Mac's widow, former Hausfrau Heather Hudson, hasn't made it any easier for Ottawa or me to swallow. And it's a picture of her in an apron over a stove kissing Mac in his uniform.
All right, so eventually we get to,
we go back. Oh, I mean, this part is cool. Like, we go back and back. If there's a Heather one, there's a Guardian, like a little photo panel thing. Mm. And then there's Mac in his Mabel outfit, Mac in his original suit with all the tubes and stuff, and then just plain old Mac, back when he and Logan were Department H, and Mac was saying that, oh, they're about to cut funding, I need to find superpowered people, and if I can't, I'm going to make one.
Mm.
Because this dude, who looks like the mummy all wrapped up, has latent power... And I need people. I need this to happen.
So he developed a device that can detect latent superpowers so he can go after them. The first subject he found was in a Nova Scotian prison.
For murder.
And
Mac was like, this is fine.
And he used his government clearance to transfer this murderer to his care.
He's like, yeah, you can experiment on me if you give me a pardon, I guess.
So then the disc comes to an end.
It shows Gary Cody where this original person is.
Yep. So he's
behind
like...
behind a wall with magnetic locks.
Yeah. So he finds a way to open a hidden door where he finds a sack suspended from the ceiling with dozens of red sinewy bits.
It's like weird arteries coming off of it leading who knows where. But it's just gross. Yeah. And it's like, Gary Cody, what are you doing? And so, then whatever's inside that cocoon is still alive after all these years. Mac's convict, or what's left of him? Even if Mac failed, there exists in this room the possibility of recreating his experiment, correcting his errors, and manufacturing a race of super beings amenable to human control, should those heroes who already exist like Alpha Flight one day prove uncontrollable. He is giving Orcus vibes.
Mm.
Gary Cody would absolutely be an Orcus.
He would. So that's it for Gary Cody for now. Where are we going? Tamarin Island.
The beach.
And the soundtrack playing behind the scene is Love is a Many Splendored Thing from the opening of Grease. The waves are crashing.
Yes. Heather's
going for a swim in the brisk waters.
It's fun that Purple Girl and Mannequin are just sitting on a rock and thinking like, oh, there's Heather. We should say hi. Oh, no, she's been real moody. We should give her her space.
So she's contemplating basically like Buzz. But
she's not moody. She's having a good time. She's at peace with herself for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
I loved Mac and I just never really knew him. And now I'm part of this team that's so great. And really she, reinforcing that this new iteration of Alpha Flight is so great.
And she's also thinking like, did Mac do like nefarious shit to Logan?
Yeah, that pops up. But for once, she's happy. She has freed herself from the shackles of Mac's memory. Dot, dot, dot. Very happy. And then again, Purple Girl Mannequin. Like,
okay, so Madison is in the box armor reshingling part of the roof and looks at Purple Girl and Madison, Mannequin. And he's like, I hope that Mannequin, this med school graduate, doesn't take advantage of Purple Girl's youth. Ugh.
Well, he calls them the kids. I hope the kids seem happy together. Yeah. Kara may be a teenager, but Whitman Knapp's a med school graduate. Ugh.
So then he looks out and he sees Heather swimming, and he phases out of the armor and...
In his short shorts.
Yes, and jumps in and joins her where they share a passionate kiss after a large wave cascades into them.
Yeah, like he swims out, they stand sort of far apart, the wave pushes Heather into him, and then he's holding her and kissing her, and she's kicking a leg up, as you do.
Further back, Wanda is looking out at everyone, and she's like, I wonder if I'll ever find love, and like, what does that mean to me anymore?
Yeah. Cupid seems to be working overtime on Tamarin Island this summer. Those little arrows of his hitting everyone in sight except me. Maybe the god of love is confused, not sure what to make of someone who is formerly Sasquatch, formerly dead, and formerly a man. I'm not losing any sleep over it, though in fact for the first time in years I feel like everything is going just right. For me, for Alpha Flight, and for the world. And that, what's such a like great affirming moment for Wanda.
Yep. Wanda Linkowski is a fantastic character.
Yeah.
Much better than Walter.
There's no angst of like, oh, I wish I was a man again.
Yeah.
Like, I miss Aurora. It's like, she's...
happy with who she is.
Yes. And that's so nice to see in 1987.
Yeah.
Whatever year this is.
It's 87. All right. You ready to go back?
We're back in Ottawa. The cocoon is broken.
And
Gary Cody's real dead.
R.I.P.
And there's a beep, beep, beep on the little control panel that signals a telephone next to a very hairy arm. And Wolverine picks it up and says, "Lo, Logan, this is Hudson. Bedlam is free." With a great big snick. It's not even a snicked. There's no T.
There's just a snick.
With a giant exclamation point.
All right. And that's the issue.
That is the issue.
With our letters page, Jeremy Smith of New London, Iowa. Do you know where that is?
I feel like I've seen a sign for it.
Okay. Has high praise for the current run of the book, comparing it favorably to the Burn run. However, he does ask editorial to stop changing the characters all the time. A writer signing his letter as the Star Wolf from Ottawa, Ontario, applauds Madison's decision to kill his own brother and eliminate the threat of Scramble/Omega, rather than letting the character go off to jail and subsequently be allowed to come back. Gerard Rinaldi of St. Clair Shores, Michigan, wrote in to complain that the team seems to be losing members at an alarming rate. And it was written even before issue 50, and...
Is that when Northstar left?
Yes. And the writer is like, I bet Northstar's leaving next.
Oh, no.
And editorial is like, people die all the time. It's a part of life.
That's a choice.
Yep. And then they're forced to admit, like, yeah, we've gotten a lot of letters about us getting rid of all these characters. All right. Issue 53.
Does a character die in this one?
We'll see. Gary Cody just died.
He did.
Did anyone write in... with care about that? Like, I can't believe you murdered Gary Cody. He was never a good character. Like, he's always evil.
A little shady.
A blast from the past, exclamation point. We get... Jim Lee's back.
Oh, yeah, he is. We get Wolverine with a big flashlight and his own personal plane.
Right?
Why is everyone a pilot?
We only stand the women pilots in Marvel. Most of them written by Chris Claremont, whose mother was a pilot. That's why.
So the mansion is all blown up.
Fucking A. We just lost another headquarters Alpha Flight. Sorry, team. And it was even like the reconstructed mansion.
Yeah.
Gilda Lily has nothing left.
She really doesn't.
She's going to be pissed if she ever comes back. Like, the structure isn't even there anymore.
It's, like, just a hollowed out... Like, I mean, some external walls are still there. The tower is still there. So, but that wall is not structurally sound.
So he realizes he's too late to intercept Bedlam before he found the team and attacked.
Who is Bedlam that we haven't found out yet?
Nope.
He finds a little whirligig and...
And a miniature box.
Who could it be but Box and Madison Jeffries?
It's a little action figure.
It is. It grows. Madison phases out.
And he's in shock.
He is. They're in the ruins of a bathroom, so Wolverine just slices a water pipe open and splashes Madison, who just keeps saying, out of my head, out of my head, out of my mind.
So then he comes, he's a bit more coherent, and he's like, the team, we're having a normal day.
It was a training room thing. Yeah. I was manipulating all the technologies so they could be, like, enemies. Like, the X-Men have the danger room, except they have a computer, and it's just me for Alpha Flight. So they're doing their thing, and generally doing pretty well. And
there was a rumble from below the mansion.
Yes. And Box is just blasted upwards. The crater called me Bedlam, the brain blast. And is just taking out everyone. Like, Heather's outfit is all ripped up. Sasquatch is partially under rubble. The different parts of Mannequin are all laid out. And this Bedlam dude looks a little bit like a dragon in golden armor. Like, real scaly.
Yeah.
Sort of horned.
And remember, he has no problem murdering.
No, he does not. So he goes after Box and Madison. You can just see him like, out of my mind, out of my mind. Please keep out of my mind. And he just shrinks into this tiny little thing.
So when Box... After he's flung up in the air, lands back down. Bedlam took care of the rest of the team, putting them in his thrall somehow.
Yes, he has some green lights.
His mental powers. So then, in the present time, we have Madison teaming up with Logan, and they're like, we need to figure out where Bedlam went.
And why is he doing this? And Logan says, revenge on a dead man.
Yeah. I have questions.
What are your questions?
How do you find the team?
I mean, brain power. He probably sought out their brain waves.
He didn't know who was on the team. He only knew about Mac. Mac's dead.
He must be able to read other people's thoughts. Tell me about Alpha Flight. What happened to Mac?
I mean, it's comic book, so I can't question it that much, but still.
I mean, we can question why something that looks like a cold-blooded creature is... in a base in the Arctic Circle.
No, true. So he's in a huge complex. He constructed within a day.
Yep.
He's had a day. And Alpha Flight is restrained on one side, and other powered individuals are right on the other. Do you know who these individuals are? Do you recognize them?
I was wondering if they were the ones from the test tubes, and I was sort of right.
Yes.
And
these are Scrambles' former experiments / prisoners?
Prisoners, I think. So, and they're all sort of, like, vined over.
Yeah.
And all looking very stunned. And we get this...
I love this page.
...grid. It's 8 columns.
And it's a character. Each grid column is a character.
And 5 rows. So you sort of get the story and history of each character. So there's Vindicator, Freakout, Sasquatch, Janice, Purple Girl, Breakdown, Mannequin, Goblin. So, for example, Vindicator, it's her with her short haircut being a secretary. The second box is their wedding. The third box is her watching the original team go off. The fourth box is her rushing in. And the fifth box is, like, her powered up in her suit.
It's 40 panels on a page. I can't imagine how much work went into just that page.
Because you have to tell the story of each character across five tiny windows.
So there's no dialogue. It's just, you have to get these snapshots down so readers understand what's happening. Especially for the characters you don't know.
Right. Cause, and you can use the ones that, I feel like Vindicator, Sasquatch, Purple Girl, Mannequin, they're all there to sort of give you a guide.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Vindicator. Purple Girl is her without her purple skin, just being a teenager. The second panel is her turning purple. The third is her running away. The fourth is her working on North Star and turning him purple. And then the final one is her part of Alpha Flight. And then we get this dude freak out. It's a singer in a rock and roll band. Something massive happens to him. He's worked on by Scramble. He's escaping from a tube. And then he's being abducted by Bedlam. Or breakdown. Nuclear family. She has a freak out. She's in a mental institution.
She has a breakdown.
Yes. She escapes from the test tube and she gets zapped by Bedlam. Goblin, just a girl in a bed. Then a monster. Then Scramble doing something. Just looking ominous in the background. Mm. Her breaking out. And again, her being abducted. So for the characters that we don't know, it's enough to build a story off of, and then their escape from Scramble and their capture by Bedlam are the fourth and the fifth.
So then Bedlam picks out Heather to individually sort of work on.
Be mean to?
Yes. And he begins to probe her mind as she's the widow of his creator. So if he wants revenge.
It is your thoughts that most interest me, Vindicator, for they reveal you to be the living link with my creator, Guardian. And we get this flashback to funding for Department H is on the line, Logan. If I can't locate some super being soon, I may have to create some. So Heather's like, did Matt create Bedlam as he created Wolverine? Was my late husband that mad? And Bedlam is like, yes. James Hudson created me. Freeing the latent powers of mind over matter of a condemned criminal. And throughout some of this stuff, I guess we had a flashback to Guardian and Wolverine fighting Bedlam and somehow winning and restricting him to just the cocoon. But we do learn that Mac didn't actually do the stuff to Logan.
Yeah.
But Logan doesn't know that. So we get this whole, like, it's going to be my team against your team.
The Derangers.
The Derangers is a dumb name.
So they're, it's like matching each team member up with a person of equal strength. So Purple Girl is the exception. She's just trying to comfort Laura Dean, who we will find out.
Is Goblin?
Yes. And then Goblin is there and slashes at Purple Girl.
Yeah, and so none of the folks are really that in control.
Mm-hmm.
They're being, even though they're fighting, it's all controlled by Bedlam. So when Sasquatch is just, like, shredding, what's-his-face, freak out, it's not really Wanda doing it. And, like, right. She knows, like, that what she's doing is going to kill Freak Out if she keeps going, but she can't stop. So there's Janice against Mannequin. There's Breakdown, who just explodes and then reforms, against Heather. And like you say,
Purple House Girl. Hausfrau against Hausfrau.
It's true. Purple Girl and Goblin. And then Purple Girl has to run away.
And so, as this is all happening, it's fairly typical battle stuff, but then Box and Logan are zeroing in.
And at least they can figure out, like, Bedlam is all about mind stuff. We have to bury our minds. And so there's some dialogue about Heather from Wolverine. Box is like, so is that the reason you left to become a free agent and join the X-Men? And Wolverine says, one reason, the other was Heather. And so Madison's thinking, like, oh, did Wolverine love her when she was still married to Mac? Does he still? He must. That's why he's returned to rescue her. And we get some of the, like, oh, we were, like, a little family.
Yeah.
Mac was, like, a brother.
Mm.
Like, was he?
Yeah.
I don't think he was. Ruffle alert.
Yeah. So, Bedlam unleashes a blast from the surface.
Yep. Reasons. Mind over matter.
Yep. The plane crashes, but Box protects Wolverine within the armor, and they hit the ground running.
By burying their minds, they hope to approach the complex. Their approach to the complex will go undetected by Bedlam. So, Sasquatch / Wanda, she can't stop herself. Bedlam's making me do it. Even if he doesn't feel pain, it's only a matter of time before I kill Freakout. Unless I transform into a form that can't cause him any further harm. So, she becomes Wanda and says, oh, your turn, big boy. And he stops. And they start to figure out, like, Bedlam isn't in total control. And if you heard some clatter, that was Asta tipping over her hay bucket.
Yes.
She loves her hay bucket, except last night she dragged it over towards the stairs and it fell down the stairs in the middle of the night.
Yes.
But at least it didn't take her with.
Yes.
So the team is figuring out what they can do. Heather's like, well, my brain is sort of in control of the suit, but my thinking is different. Therefore, I can just sort of program the suit to do what it needs to, and Bedlam can't control it anymore. So that's how she does it. She blasts. Freakout doesn't have too much of a mind, and Bedlam loses control because there's so many people.
Mm-hmm.
So he punches Bedlam in the face, except Bedlam does some stabby stabs, like conjuring some pokey bits that fly at freak out and kill him.
Yeah, so he...
So yes, there's another character that dies.
Yeah, he is killing all the derangers.
Yes. He does a blast all the way through...
Freak out?
Breakdown.
Breakdown.
So Breakdown and Freak Out are both dead. Down. Janice is fighting it's themselves because there's two faces, two different personalities. And then Wolverine and Box come in. So this is where Bedlam is like, oh, here's where I can plant the seed that Mac was the one that turned his adamantium or bones to adamantium.
Yeah.
And use that as a way to, like, unbury Logan's mind so he can be controlled. So Logan starts to attack Box, but Heather goes full on and starts blasting and fighting Bedlam.
Yeah, she's like, so I was resenting my husband for no reason.
Yeah.
And she's like, fuck this.
So it's all a lie, it's an illusion. Like, she even transforms, or Bedlam transforms their image to look like a little girl. And it doesn't matter. Despite your personal... Oh, he's saying, despite your personal powerlessness, your command of your husband's invention would have made you a formidable addition to my team of super slaves. But now you leave me no choice but to tear you and your battle suit apart. And Heather says, if I die, I'm taking you with me. And she just blasts his head off.
Heather Hudson loves killing.
Yeah.
She's a murder mommy.
Yeah. So Bedlam is down.
And then Goblin runs through a window.
Yes.
And the team is like, wow, there's a lot of dead people around here. But Heather, don't worry. She's not bothered by this because she hugs Madison and she's like, I'm ready to love again.
I mean, there is a moment with Wolverine first. But yeah, she's all about Madison Jeffries. And the Arctic is now their new base. How long will it last?
You'll see, I guess. Since you haven't read ahead. So, a lot is packed into this issue. Like, a surprising amount of plot is put into one issue.
It is, especially when a lot of it is a battle.
Yeah.
So, hopefully the recap wasn't too onerous to get through.
Yeah.
there was just a lot happening with a lot of different characters.
Yeah, but I think a good set of three issues, now that we're through a bunch of people leaving.
And now more dying.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Gary Cody Bedlam arc.
Mm-hmm.
These all flow together pretty well.
Yeah.
And up next, apparently, in the preview, we get to talk about Goblin.
Yeah.
The surviving test tube person.
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently, Janice killed themselves.
Oh.
Like, if one half dies, then the other half must
have. Sad.
So.
R.I.P. Derangers and Gary Cody and Bedlam.
Yes.
Most of those we hardly knew ye.
But that, you're right, that 8x5 panel or page with all those little panels to tell you the story of those characters was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And smart, like how they hit the character beats for the ones to give you a guide so that for someone you didn't know, you could still see, like, who they were in a little snapshot.
Yeah. So you liked the issues?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you like Wolverine?
I mean, he talks more in Alpha Flight than he does in the modern comics, so I like that part.
True.
And we get... He has more dimension, I feel.
Mm.
So, even though apparently he's everywhere, or will be everywhere.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with some form of Star Trek, I guess.
Aren't we starting Telepathy War?
Oh, shit. I need to pull all those issues this week, then.
Oh, good luck. Your comic table is very full.
Oh, they're in the box. I know exactly. The box is set aside for all the Marvel Star Trek.
Oh.
And it's all organized, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah. All right, everyone. We will catch you next time. Thanks for listening.
Okay, bye.
Bye.